Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
It's become a tradition, really, to actually have a kind of New Year Zoomer. Maybe it's the new technology we're in, basically. It's all that zone. And why not actually put a New Year Zoomer together as we head into the year of three twos with three fabulous individuals from North Carolina, from New York, from indeed the joys of Newark, Nottinghamshire, and so on. Of course, we've got Jessica Burtis, Pamela Sue Mann, and Sarah Bullimore all with us, and gearing up for a whole range of wonderful routines. In fact, Pamela, we, of course, special time for the year 2021. We launched a whole new broadcasting program, did we not?
We did, Alex. And it's been so much fun so far. And I can't wait till 2022 for more fun and more fabulous guests and more wacky New York stories.
Well, exactly. Indeed, Pamela also put on a special sort of line for the Zoomer, BYOB. I was unaware of what BYOB actually meant until I actually saw it's bring your own bottle. I know, it's a tough one, but that's perfectly okay. I understand where we're coming from on that particular perspective. Also, for special highlights of the year, delighted to actually welcome Sarah Bullimore. Sarah, of course, you started work once again as not only a great event organizer, coordinator and producer of top quality aspects as well in terms of literary festivals, but you also started putting in some work for the public relations and communications degree at the University of Lincoln. So fun times there.
Absolutely, Alex. Lovely working with you and nice to be out doing things in the real world with people as well.
Yeah. I mean, what is reality, Sarah? How often have we had that discussion following some of our sessions with respect to the students at the University of Lincoln? I still don't know where we're coming from on that particular basis, but it's fair to say that without this magic of Zoom and radio stuff, etc., Pamela and Jessica would have actually been sort of excluded, but they're here and key sort of aspects. So we mentioned Jessica there. Jessica Burtis, welcome back aboard. And thank you so much for your Christmas card, which arrived today from the joys of the USA. Very good.
Sorry, I think I'm a little frozen. Can you all hear me?
Yes, Jessica, it's all right. It's the climate change does away with freezing Zoom calls, so I've been told. Or maybe that's just if you're living in different parts of the states that are suffering all sorts of things now. Snow in Colorado. We need more snow in Colorado. That's the essential thing. Anyway, Jessica, any highlights for yourself for 2021? I mean, obviously, you graduated last year, so this is the year when you've been basically, you spent a considerable period of time, of course, in Ireland, if memory serves, so that was the case there. So you were very much working across the Atlantic Ocean and doing all sorts of magical things there.
Yeah, I think that's been something big this year. I mean, graduation is not something that I would forget about, but doesn't feel like it's been this year. It feels like it's been so much longer. So yeah, being over in Ireland was really fun. I can't believe it's about to be 2022 because I don't feel like this year has been very fluid. It feels like it's been several years all put into one. So that's just, it doesn't feel like it's the new year, but we're going to have like our traditional meal tonight. That's like we have to have like a meal every New Year's. That's like a Southern tradition and has to bring good luck for the new year. So that's like the one good thing about like around, well, being with you all too. But yeah, sorry, so I was like scatterbrained.
It's perfectly okay. I mean, we appreciate there's a Midweek Drive family. There's a real family. It's all very confusing. Kathy Mansour, of course, made her debut in 2022 as far as not only arriving at the University of Lincoln to actually take up postgraduate work with your MA in journalism, etc. We're talking a bit about highlights. So, Kathy, what have your highlights of 2021 been? Was it a case of getting that third booster jab and thereby being knocked unconscious for about 2 or 3 days? Was it a case of just working through the joys of the University of Lincoln? Was it a case of actually being able to have real live coffees with us in the atrium of Lincoln, etc., which, as I say, sadly, Pamela and Jessica, it's all been virtual so far, but what the hey?
Yes, absolutely. All been highlights. I mean, I moved my life to Lincoln, right? I was living a different life in Miami, Florida, and got accepted into school, moved here, met you, had coffees, been loving the midweek drives. Everything's been great. I have no complaints. And I'm sure 2022 is only going to bring on some good more fun.
Well, Sarah, some of the best phrasing that's ever used when it comes to considering your events in terms of literary festivals, etc., are FUN with a capital F, capital U, capital N. In fact, I've heard it said it's almost indistinguishable, the Newark Book Festival, from the height of joy in Miami in terms of fun things to be doing from that point of view. So, Sarah, you've just come out, of course, of the Newark Christmas Book Festival, quite literally a winter wonderland. What other magical things have you been laying the ground for in the year, which basically by the time the listener actually, there might be one or two podcast listeners who will hear this literally on the cusp of switching to 2022. But in most cases, for the Siren Radio folk, it'll be in 2022 now. I'll be early January. So what can we look forward to?
Just a bit like what Jessica said, really, that 2021 has kind of felt a bit like we've lived 7 years into one. So it's kind of been really crazy with trying to get back on timetable and getting out and then putting restrictions into place with events and festivals. And obviously, then we did our Christmas weekend festival, which was perfectly timed to bring our dose of challenges with it, but equally absolutely amazing. And everyone had a fantastic time. So now really what we've been doing over the past couple of weeks has been busy putting the funding bids in. And I think 2022 is going to be amazing, but with a whole load more challenges, especially around we're going to be doing lots of different fundraising for all the different festivals. And hopefully, if we meet all those targets, what we will do is expand those. So we are continuing online stuff, but we're also going out and about into communities and working a lot more with communities too. So fingers crossed.
In so many ways, Sarah, it seems like only yesterday when the first ever Lincoln Book Festival was being established. And actually, just looking at calendars, I think it was only 16 years or so ago. So what the hey? What have we done over 16 years? Like a decade and a half, really. It's great stuff, that. Pamela, I was privileged to actually see the fantastic material that, of course, your husband Jerry had been involved with respect to the David Bowie RTE conference, not conference, the RTE presentation, and indeed overall event that was actually there. So, I mean, you obviously, I mean, Jerry's had COVID, he's back in the whole thing now. He's probably behind the scenes press now. He's behind you. But Pamela, apart from that, of course, you've also been putting together a whole heap of other material, musically speaking, waving at Jerry now. Great stuff there. The Jerry Leonard, fantastic stuff there. Yep. David Bowie, frankly, would not have been the David Bowie we know and love without Jerry Leonard actually on guitar. That's the bottom line. So, Pamela, share with us. I mean, it's been a very productive year for your good self in terms of music. I mean, that's even before we start thinking about Pink Flamingos.
And I'm going to share something with you. I'll be right back.
The excitement of Pamela Subban, who's literally just vanished, like some sort of strange New York mystical side of things there. And she's actually brought a pink flamingo to the party. I mean, I've heard it said about New Yorkers, nobody brings a pink flamingo to the party, but she has done this. And indeed, that pink flamingo is, I mean, that's worth the cost of the Zoom alone, basically. As voiced by Philip Hurdwood, sadly, Philip couldn't join us today because, quite frankly, he's poorly. Never mind. Jonathan Lindsley has stepped in, and it's good to see you, Jonathan. Welcome to our end of year midweek drive extravaganza Zoomer with added pink flamingos from Pamela, with added literary content from Sarah Bullimore, the joy of Kathy Manso, and of course, Jessica Burtis, both of whom were bemused by the Wild Wild West episode, which we wrapped up Resonance Rewind, which sadly we didn't connect with you with, but we all sorts of things are there. And likewise, Pamela. Anyway, how are you, Jonathan? And how's life treating you in the joys of the South Coast?
I'm very well, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Of course
It's
we
very
can, Jonathan. Otherwise,
That's
I'd just
good.
be lip
Okay.
reading.
I can't hear myself. That's the weird thing. It's lovely and warm down here. Bit cloudy, but it's got dark all of a sudden. But yes, I'm very fine. Thank you. On the south coast of England.
Marvellous. Indeed, as far as the weather forecasts are actually concerned, this is apparently a record breaker. It's the hottest New Year's Eve ever since history records began in the meteorological weather conditions as far as England is actually concerned. But it's all right. Don't worry, Kathy. Apparently, the ice and snow is due to come and hit in with a vengeance in the next few days. So it's nice to see that balance is there, unlike the cabinet. No more political jokes. Pamela, I know you sort of floated the idea of Jonathan joining us on New York Real Talk. Frankly, I didn't even ask you. You've got two flamingos now. This is amazing. It's just, we're going from one flamingo to two flamingos.
This is going to be an educational segment as well. Did you know that once they do a little dance, and once they find their mate, they mate for life? That's the heart.
And Kathy, and, quite
they get
rightly,
their color from the.
Kathy, okay, I believe. Go on. You've asked the question. We need nomenclature. Over to you, Kathy, please.
I would like to know the names so I can address them properly. Perhaps buy them a drink.
Oh goodness! Oh, and that's right. We're in the States, so you and I could do that. We could actually meet for a drink, and I'll bring them, and you can buy one for me and one for each of them. And then we'll all be really sloppy.
I'm so sorry. I'm gonna have to Uber Eats you because I'm in Lincoln, England. Yeah. I know my accent is deceiving, but
we're coming over in February. All things even, we're coming over. So I'll bring these guys. You know, Kathy, they don't have names yet, so maybe you can help me with that.
Absolutely.
I can bring them on our next tour. You and I can, collaborate on their names.
Okay, well, let's just put it out there, Pamela, because I think you've raised a very interesting point. Thanks for that question, Kathy. Sarah, have you got a possible two names for Pamela's pair of pink flamingos who have mated for life? A question I didn't expect to be asking at this particular time, but, let's go for it, Sarah. Turn the creative juices on.
Naming is really, really hard. I think that if they are mating for life, though, they need to be romantic names. That's as far as my suggestion.
Okay, so romantic names.
Love related.
Jonathan, a pair of names for a pair of flamingos?
I think whatever you name them, they should end in ingo. So it should be like lingo and jingo or something like that. And then they'd be Jingo Flamingo and Lingo Flamingo, which would be quite fun to say.
Jingo. Yeah, I'm writing this down. We're going to have to
Pamela, who indeed came up with the catchphrase for New York Real Talk, home of the world's best pickle. I'm still working on that, but, it's there, fine. You're listening to New York Real Talk, home of the world's best pickle. Jessica, what about yourself? Names for the flamingos?
I would say I can only come up with one name. So maybe either Eve or Rosie. Eve, because it's New Year's Eve, and I think it can be a very romantic name. And then maybe Rosie, because the color and roses are the romantic flower. So maybe one of those would work.
Ooh, I love that. I think we're leaning towards, of course, I need more input from everybody, but I think we're leaning towards Rosie and Jingo.
I'm on the floor, humbly bowing. See, I've learned what not to do. Let's keep it here, keep it perfect. Don't even need to kiss you. I've got something better. I wanna dance in the supermarket with you. Wanna dance in the supermarket. Let's dance right before.
Let's dance like pink flamingos do, and I will dance like me, and you will dance like you.
Actually, Eve is really kind of cute.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jonathan, back in the day, I'm sure, like myself, as a Yorkshire lad, you will have actually visited Flamingo Land, which was a whole range of things there, which rarely had any flamingos actually there, but, you know, a whole new world.
That's true. And also, I was thinking back in the day, there was the famous song Pretty Flamingo, wasn't there? But so one of them could be called Manfred and the other could be called Man if they were gay.
I don't know.
I'm freewheeling here. I hope you don't mind.
I think that's fine. I mean, Winnie, I mean, is this helping Pamela? I mean, more to the point, do you feel it's helping the flamingos?
Yeah, well, more options are always better and more confusing. And my last name's Nan, so maybe there's something on the Manfred Man and then Eve.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cue Pink Flamingo, Pretty Flamingo, the Manfreds. You're listening to the Midweek Drive end of year special, although it's not the end of everything. Surely not. We've got six fine folk who are with us. We might be joined by one or two others. We don't know as yet. We had actually hoped we'd have another producer called Erica with us, but Erica hasn't managed to connect. But what the hey? We've got Kathy Manso, Jessica Burtis, Sarah Bullimore, Jonathan Lindsley, and Pamela Suman. Sarah, who would you like to throw a few questions at in terms of life, the universe, or other matters?
Oh, Kathy. So, what are you doing this new year, Kathy? There's a simple question, apart from right now.
So, after this, I have gone into competition with my neighbors as to who can create the best cheese board. And I've gone all out. I've got brie. I got manchego. I got chorizo. I got chocolates. I got crackers. I got chips. I got garlic knots. It's big. And then we're going to drink tremendously, I think. There's definitely many bottles of Prosecco stocked up already. And I think tequila has been mentioned. So that's the plan for New Year's. That's the plan.
That's a cheese and wine party.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, were you influenced by the Prime Minister of the country in terms of going for that particular choice? I mean, was it a case of you felt as though you're in Britain, you needed to actually go for the tradition, as Sarah actually has the wonderful sort of cough that's in the background there suggesting, oh, it's all good, you know, the coronavirus is out there. Or was it just a case of, no, I'm American, of course I'm going to do it bigger and better than any other sort of citizens of Lincoln?
Well, I got to be honest, my neighbours are of two other people. So my other job here, I'm a resident warden. So I'm on campus helping. I'm part of student support, essentially. So we just have like an emergency phone call if something goes wrong, but I'm not in charge of the emergency phone call. And it's just like a group of three of us. And for the last week, to entertain each other, we've been trying to beat each other's cheese boards. And tonight's the night where we're trying to go all out because it's New Year's, you know, we're going to ring in the New Year quite right. And that's where we're at. So it's going to be a small party of three with tremendous cheese.
And of course, when you say beat each other's cheese boards, you're not looking to actually whack each other's cheese camembert over the head with various other aspects. It's just a case of you're looking at the best, more profound cheese board scenario. Extraordinary.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just curious where that sort of question sort of develops. Jonathan, let's throw the interview mantle onto your good self. Your chance to ask four of the fabulous Midweek Driveettes over the course of the year, many of whom you've actually, in fact, there's only Sarah that you haven't actually shared, I think, a Zoomer with. So what perspective would you like to seek out in this particular area?
Well, I thought Sarah's question was really good and really interesting because throughout my life, I've always had sort of traditions that I do on New Year's Eve, things that, you know, I always kind of do. And I just wondered if anybody else had any sort of traditions that they always go through. I mean, I know people make New Year's resolutions and I know people think about that, but I'd be very interested to hear from the ladies on the panel about if they've got any particular traditions that they follow on New Year's Eve. So could we start with Jessica and work our way along? So Jessica, I'm asking you, have you got any traditions?
We do watch the New York ball every year, but our tradition is more on New Year's Day when we have this meal that's like a Southern luck type of thing. And you basically have collard greens, white rice, and black-eyed peas, and they each and you also have meat. I don't eat meat, but it's supposed to be there. And they each kind of stand for something different. Like if you eat your collard greens, it's supposed to mean money in the new year. If you have black-eyed peas, it's luck in the new year, and meat is health. So that's always something that we have every year, and it's actually really good. It sounds pretty simple, but it's a really good meal. So I just look forward to that.
That sounds good. Sarah, do you have any particular traditions that you follow on New Year's Eve?
Not really, strangely. More of a Christmas tradition girl than a New Year girl. I've never been a big one for New Year's. At the moment, I'm kind of in limbo land, so I'm living out of boxes, as Alex knows, as I'm preparing to look for a new home to move in. And also, as you can probably tell, I don't have COVID, but I have just come back from the doctors with a lovely box of antibiotics to start this evening for a viral infection. So my evening will be antibiotics and maybe sneaking one glass of fizz. But we also do have some cheese bland, so maybe that's the new tradition.
Well, let's hope that's not a tradition of taking antibiotics every New Year's Eve. We'll move on from that. So, Pamela, have you got any traditions that you follow on New Year's Eve?
Well, I was thinking of Sarah, and I've not had the pleasure of being on a Zoom with you before. And you're so sweet. You just have the sweetest voice and nature, and I'm just like, I just love you. So traditions, yeah. So I don't really even understand the beginning of this tradition. However, one year we had some friends over, and one night we formed a band. We recorded some songs. The band broke up. Wound up on the snow outside, tripping over ourselves with too much champagne. But aside from that, we tapped onto this tradition. Now Jerry's in the back here, so he might be able to fill us in on this. But we started whacking a loaf of bread, we started whacking against the walls, which is supposedly an Irish tradition for good luck. You know, someone mentioned it, and I don't even know if it's true.
I thought it was Jewish.
No, it's not Jewish. It was Irish. So we walked around just like beating the walls with this loaf of bread. And it was a tradition that I don't know if we've consistently continued because Jerry's not always here on New Year. Sometimes he's touring. But that's a tradition, and I think maybe we'll do that this year. Although we'll send you the Christmas card. We all took tests this morning, COVID tests, and we're all negative. So there's a little French bistro called Chernysal, I can't pronounce it correctly. And we made a reservation there for dinner for tonight, and we're going to go there. So maybe I'll ask them for a baguette, and we'll bring it home, and we'll just beat it against the wall, and hopefully it will bring the same luck, but not just for us, for the entire world, because we all need it.
Oh, that's excellent. I've never heard of beating the walls with bread, but it's that's an interesting thing. Kathy, do you other than making the best cheese board, do you have a traditional thing that you do on New Year's Eve?
Yes, I do. So my family, we're very Latin. My mom's from Chile, my dad's from Spain. So we have a lot of Hispanic Latin traditions. And the top two that have to happen, my mom just sent me a text saying, you remember? saying, with the grapes, we have to have 12 grapes at midnight. And that's supposed to be for good luck for the year. Mm-hmm. So you need to eat 12 grapes at midnight. And then you also have to fill in a pot of water, fill all the way up and throw it outside to remove any bad energy, bad luck for the year.
Excellent. Oh, that's good. I like that. We had a tradition as when I was a child, you had to go out of the back door. A dark haired man had to go out of the back door of the house, walk around to the front door of the house and knock on the door carrying a piece of coal. And this was supposed to bring good luck because it was called first footing. And it was the first person to cross your threshold in the new year. So that was a tradition when I was a child. But subsequently, I've always done a thing with my friends, which is whenever I've had friends over on New Year's Eve, is to write down predictions for the year on pieces of paper, then fold them up, put them in an envelope. And then the following New Year, you open the envelope and see whose predictions came true. And for the year, you know, things that happened, like would there be whatever it was, who would win the cup final or who would win the Super Bowl or whatever it was. And you could write down things like that. And that was quite fun. You know, what would be the biggest film of the year? And you could make who would die in the year. You know, there's all sorts of things you could write down. So those are my traditions. So I'm handing you back to Alex now, who's in charge here, really.
No, it's fascinating. And I'm delighted that the Judeo-Christian tradition of whacking one's walls with a loaf of bread is still being maintained in the city of the Big Apple, because I think that's certainly something which I felt was being lost somewhere. And I you know, tries to sort of resurrect it, but sadly hasn't had that. But it's good. It's good. Just some news in terms of Erica Duke. We send our best wishes to Erica, but she's currently in a department which is being flooded and she's currently getting it fixed. So it's super noisy. It's all right, Erica. You could always brought the plumbers in. What the heck? And Phil Leardis apparently is also without Wi-Fi at present. Well, he's gone back to Southern California. So can't expect any technology there, can we? Silicon Valley and various other bits and pieces. So a little bit heads up there in terms of absent friends, which is our toast for today and various other things. And we mentioned, obviously, Phil Herdwood is down with the coronavirus as well. But never mind. So, Jessica, it falls to you, good self now. You know, obviously, you've got traditions there, but any other questions you'd like to put to the assembled team?
I'd like to know one goal that everyone has for the new year. It doesn't have to be like a resolution. It can just be like something, a small thing. Sorry, my Tamagotchi is beeping. Just something small that, you know, you want to accomplish or see done in the new year.
Just out of interest, Jessica, did you say that your Tamagotchi was beeping there? Because I thought they'd actually sort of ceased to be in the 20th century.
Yeah.
Do you have a...
You know, I do. I have one when I was little, and then I asked for a new one from Christmas because they did like a re-release of the original Tamagotchi. So wow. This is Norbert. He hey. Wants my attention right now, but he can wait. But yeah.
this is moving into even. I mean, we had the flamingos who as yet are the flamingos with no names, but now we have Jessica's Tamagotchi still there, still actually demanding the attention of Jessica in the 21st century. I mean, I don't know. And Jonathan, did you ever have a Tamagotchi?
No, to be honest with you, I didn't know that they beeped either. So this is all new to me.
You've got to look after them. What was it looking for, Jessica? What was it in need of? Food, cheese, bread?
Yes. A nice cheese board. Yeah. He wants to play a game. Yeah, he just wants my attention.
Yeah, he He wants to play a game. Well, there are those people who would say that life is just a game. I mean, Sarah, were you a Tamagotchi girl at all?
You know, I think I did actually have one at one point. I do remember having a little pink one, though. Yeah, way back when.
Can you remember its name?
No, not at all. No. That's if I named it. Maybe I didn't even name it. That's awful.
Oh, dear. An abandoned Tamagotchi. And Jessica, a little shout out once again. The name of the Tamagotchi is?
His name is Norbert.
Norbert. That could almost be a book in itself. His name is Norbert. It's succinct. It's precise. It addresses these key things. And I mean, Pamela, surely an album title, His Name is Norbert, that would be piquant in extreme, really.
Well, you know, maybe it's a collaboration between Jessica and myself, and we write a song together called Norbert. And, you know, we dedicate it to Norbert. And I apologize. Your Funyuns are still in my counter, in my cupboard. I haven't got them out yet, but I promise. I think I should actually buy a new packet, just in case there's an expiration date on them.
And just for the benefit of Sarah and Jonathan and any British listeners for this particular routine, Pamela is not referring to strange forms of onions, i.e. funny onions, Funyuns, or indeed problems with feet, as in bunions, as in, you know, occasional bunion scenario there. But indeed, Funyuns, spelt completely differently, F-U-N-Y-A-N-S, as in Funyuns. Now, Kathy, you're nodding on this. Would you like to explain, because I know Jonathan's looking bemused by this, the Funyun experience. Why are they called Funyuns? And how familiar are you in Miami with Funyuns?
Not at all. I don't think I've ever had Funyuns. I know. I'm so sorry. You might as well just take my American citizenship. Miami is not the United States. I need to clarify that. If anyone's ever been, you will know very quickly that you need to speak Spanish there. It may be in the country, but it's a different style of life, you know? And I could name a bunch of Latin things, but it's like, what are we doing, you know?
Well, extraordinary. I mean, Sarah, you might sort of be able to sort of say, no, I know exactly what Funyuns are. No. Jonathan?
I know what they are. I know what Funyuns are.
Go on then, Jonathan. Take the prize for the Funyun Meister.
Are they an onion-based corn snack? Is that what a Funyun is?
Yeah, and they're very highly addictive. I mean, even more so, I think, than Doritos. Yes, we grew up in America with some choice snacks full of chemicals that, according to someone close to me who truly believed this, the preservatives in these snacks actually preserve you and help you to live longer. I'm not even kidding. It's someone who's actually like genius IQ who really believes this. Someone in my family. But I won't out them. Anyway, Jerry and I just looked at her incredulously when she said this because she completely believed it. Who knows?
Well, I mean, Funyun, it sounds like the beginning of formaldehyde. And obviously, if you want to be completely pickled, get some formaldehyde and you will exist in a kind of state of play. I wouldn't necessarily recommend being wrapped in Funyuns. However, the good news, Jessica, is Pamela does have your bag of Funyuns in her New York apartment. Whether they ever get to you in North Carolina, frankly, I don't know, but it's just a thought. Okay, let's turn to musical choices. Is there a musical track, Jonathan, that you feel sums up the year 2021?
Oh, well, that's quite interesting. I went to see, about 7 or 8 days ago, I went to see a concert, and it was Sweet giving a concert. And I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic. And I think I would say Blockbuster is a good
choice,
a good name,
nice.
a good song for the year.
if you got long black hair. You come from behind, you go out of your mind. You better not go, you never know what you'll find. Your woman out from under your nose. Does anyone know the way? Did we hear someone say?
We just haven't got a clue what to do.
Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way.
To Blockbuster!
The cops are out. They're running about. Don't know if they'll ever be able to Blockbuster out. He's gotta be caught. He's gotta be taught. Cause he is more evil than anyone here ever thought. Does anyone know the way? Did we hear someone say?
We just haven't got a... No!
Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way.
To Blockbuster!
Say,
we just haven't got a clue what to do.
Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way.
To Blockbuster!
The height of glam rock.
Yes, the height of glam rock. And as a child of the 70s, I think I kind of enjoyed that very much. And then the following week, I went to see Cockney Rebel, which was also Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel.
You
and,
went up to see him sometime.
Yes, I did. I did. And it was and that was an excellent show as well. And Steve Harley is now 70 years old, still rocking. And he was interesting because he... I don't know if you know this, but he had polio when he was a child, and it caused him to be slightly disabled. And it was about a year later that they invented the polio vaccine, which we all received as children, if we were in that generation. And one of the things he said during his concert was, you know, everybody should get vaccinated because look what happened to me when I didn't. And I thought that was very interesting and a kind of anti-vax or anti-vax basically way. So I nominate anything by Steve Harley and Cockney Rebel as a song of the year because I felt it summed up a lot of things. And then anything by Sweet, really, I'd be quite happy with. So, well, yeah, a bit of a glam rocker, me.
Yes, and as you made of a triumphant return, I think we might feature both of those Cockney Rebel. Any particular Cockney Rebel number that you like?
I kind of love the song Sebastian, which I think is an amazing song. I mean, it's just an extraordinary piece of music. And performed live, it was spectacular. It was worth the admission. I think I paid about £40 for a ticket to go and see Cockney Rebel. And it was just hearing that song was worth the entrance money alone.
Lady, I'd simply, the candle is burning slow for me.
his thoughts in a moment is suicide. Come to a strange place, we'll talk over old times we never spoke. Somebody called me Sebastian. Your Persian eyes sparkle, your lips ruby blue, never speak a sound. And you are so gay with Parisian demands, you can run around. Your view of society screws up my mind like you'll never know. Lead me away, come inside, see my mind in kaleidoscope.
Heart, left swooping guard, loving out
We'll wrap up with Sebastian. Okay, I would have finished with yourself, Pamela, obviously, because any Pamela Sue Mann track is a classic, but I thought we'd just open it up a wee bit more because we've got New York Real Talk coming through the line. And I figured that Jessica and Kathy probably never heard of Cockney Revel or Sweet. Is that true from your own point of view? No. So completely new from yourself, which is all good. So it opened up a whole thing there. And likewise, Sarah, British culture, but maybe just before your time in terms of Steve Harley, Cockney Revel, and of course, Sweet, who obviously had Little Willie as another classic hit, Wigwam Bam, another scenario there, and of course Ballroom Blitz, which is again another great of our time.
I have a question for Jonathan. Sorry to just leap in, but do you know, Alex, some of our friends play with Steve Harley, which we've interviewed. Paul Cutterford?
Yes.
On guitar? So I'm wondering, do you know if Paul was there playing playing with Steve Harley? Did he have a band?
Yes, he did have a band. He had Cockney Rebel with him. And he had a guy who was brilliant on the violin and the guitar, and another guy, a keyboard player, and then he had a very tall guy who I think is a little bit older than him, who was playing the lead guitar. Because I think...
It shows those 6 degrees of separation between New York Real Talk staff and guests from Pamela Sue Mann and myself, right the way through to just entertaining Jonathan in concert, which is just wondrous.
Yes, that is amazing.
So,
it's a coincidence.
No such thing as coincidence in our particular cosmos, Jonathan. You should know this by now. We go back to the 1980s when we started doing these shows, when Zoom, as I said frequently, was just an ice lolly from the 1960s or a possible track by Fat Larry's band. Jessica, it falls to your good self in the order in which you see the team to actually ask on behalf of Norbert and yourself, obviously. We love you, Norbert. Those last two questions, over to you.
Yeah, so Sarah, you're first. So have you had a reasonably interesting New Year's Eve Zoomer with us today?
I have. Thank you very much, Jessica. It's been fabulous.
So will you be coming back again?
Yes, definitely. And probably before next New Year as well. So yeah.
All right, next, Miss Pamela, have you had a reasonably interesting New Year's Eve Zoomer?
I've had a lovely New Year's Eve Zoomer, and thank you for inviting me, everyone, Alex, and I look forward to seeing you, if not before the new year, then shortly after the new year. And so yes, I will come back
anytime. Yes. I can't wait. Kathy, you're next. So have you had a reasonably interesting New Year's Eve Zoomer?
Absolutely. It's been my favorite New Year's Eve Zoomer I've ever been a part of. So kind of out there.
Well, remember, Kathy,
can we welcome you back again?
Yeah.
And yes, I will be returning for the new year.
And remember, Kathy, to actually take some breads that you can whack around the household of your flat's mates as well, because I'm sure they'll welcome that. If they ask and say, but you're from Miami, say, but this is how they celebrate New York in Times Square. You know, this is the real cutting edge of dough, etc. Sorry, Jessica, carry on.
And Jonathan, you're up. So have you had a reasonably interesting New Year's Eve Zoomer?
Yes, thank you, Jessica. I've learnt what Tamaguchis are, and I've also learnt about hitting walls with baguettes, and I've also been able to share my interest in American preservatives and snacks. So to everybody out there having a Funyun, I hope you have a fun New Year, and thank you very much for inviting me. I had a lovely time.
And can we welcome you back for more cheese and flamingo discussions in the future?
I do hope so. Can I just say one thing which I thought was rather sad today, which was I passed a friend in the street, he and his partner in their 90s now, 90 years old, and they're terribly sweet people. And I said, did you have a nice Christmas? And they said, yes, I went to my son's and my partner went to her daughter's for Christmas because we thought it might be our last Christmas ever. And I just thought how sad that is. You know, thinking that you reach a certain age and you might not see many more New Years. Obviously, I said, I hope you have many more New Years and many more Christmases in the future. But I also thought maybe that's something that happens as you get older. You know, you become realistically aware of how fragile life is.
Bottom line, so, Jonathan, we have more days past us than we have ahead of us. But there we are.
Well, what I wanted to say was how to celebrate every single day, and not just New Year's Eve, but enjoy every day that comes, because we never know what's going to happen. But isn't it wonderful that we're all still here? And I hope I see you all in the new year and have a wonderful time.
Summed it up perfectly. Jonathan Lindsley, Pamela Sue Mann, Jessica Burtis, Kathy Manso, and Sarah Bullimore. Huge thanks to the listener. Have a great new year. Have a great 2022. And we will catch up with you again with lots of midweek drives and Residence Rewinds and New York Real Talks and more as far as the year proceeds. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Alex. Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm on the floor, humbly bowing. See, I've learned what not to do. Let's keep it here, keep it perfect. Don't even need to kiss you. I've got something better. I wanna dance in the supermarket with you. Wanna dance in the supermarket.
Flamingos do, and I will dance like me, and you will dance like you.